and welcome once again to Postmodern Cowboys, a long overdue episode that we are finally getting to now, once again, in a parked car, but not in Safeway. Today, I am your host, Brian Ashen, and I'm joined in the car by Anthony.
Hi, guys.
Matt.
The job at the Young Turks didn't work out.
And the lovely Michelle.
Hello, everyone.
This is our first time being reunited in a while, so it feels very nice.
It does. Yeah. Like maple syrup.
Just nice.
Yeah.
Sticky across the
exactly.
body.
Exactly.
A vague undertone of Canadian.
Mm-hmm. I'm really trying, hard to please them, so.
Today, our theme for this episode is brainstorming on story ideas. Mm-hmm. We're in a car half filled of people who want to make a living off of depicting stories, Michelle and myself. And the more logical roads of life, such as geology and law.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to be a teacher, so I want to tell children stories hey, you can do it.
Good reach.
And they don't have to be real stories.
You know, fiction.
Yeah.
Like the American
Lies.
Dream's alive.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
It's
how I get paid.
Yeah, and education can get you that.
And truly, Anthony, your
yes.
means of living.
Yes.
It's telling good stories.
It, no, it
law.
Really is. No, it's not lying. They never taught
it's
me how
to lie in
law school.
It's telling good stories.
It's telling stories that captivate, for sure.
In the right perspective.
Exactly. Because the government tells a story, and it's usually always heavy-handed and wrong.
Yes.
You know?
The propaganda narrative.
Exactly. This idea that, everyone is out to get us all the time. That's how prosecutors think, guys.
Mm.
Yeah. And, we're just there saying, no, that's not, no.
I won't have this.
No.
Exactly. Bueno.
And so this theme was brought up by Michelle's quest in finding, in cementing a story together that she has, an idea for a short.
What do you think makes a good story, though, Michelle?
What makes a good story?
Yeah, what do you think makes a story good?
I think what makes a story good is how well it resonates with people.
Mm.
I think that's what really differentiates, how human and how subtle were you with the details.
If everyone can find a piece of themselves inside the story,
true,
it's good. Yeah.
So what's the story that you're working on?
All right, so this is potentially going to be my senior thesis, or I should just say that it is my senior thesis, so the name of it is Pippin and Her Peculiar House.
Pippin is
house sitting for her, or I don't know if she's house sitting, but basically the premise is she's going to a new house, and this house is a small house, but it's basically soon discovered as a magical small house,
like
a
clown car,
a house of mirrors,
like an Adam
it's exactly like a clown car.
It's bigger on the inside than the inside than the outside, like Doctor Who. This is just an educated guess. I, too, am an aspiring storyteller.
Very good. So basically, the concept of the house is multiple big, huge houses squished into one small house. And basically, she goes about, she enters the house, and she's like, what is this small dump that I have to live in? Well, whatever, I'll just, explore around. And then she goes to the door. It's like just one room, but then she sees a door, so she's like, yeah, let's check it out. And she walks, but then she realizes that the distance between her and the door is the same. It's because the house is turning into a hallway.
Zeno's paradox.
Yes. That's what I was going to say, yeah.
Well, is there already... it's not
Zeno's paradox is the idea of, Matt, you should say this. What's Zeno's paradox?
I've had enough of Zeno. Zeno and I, we go way back.
It's a philosophical paradox brought forth by the Stoic Greek philosopher Zeno. Was he a Stoic?
Sure. Anyone before Socrates.
Stoic or cynic, the details evade my mind at the moment. But, basically, there's several paradoxes that he has, I think the most famous of which, there's an arrow paradox, or Achilles and the tortoise or the turtle, where basically a runner and a turtle are racing, and the turtle is given a head start because it needs a head start to win a race, and so it passes so much, 10 feet, and so when the runner starts, he quickly runs the 10 feet, but in the time that he makes that gap, the turtle runs 1 foot, and so the time that the runner runs at 1 foot, the turtle moves a tenth of a foot. And then by the time the runner passes that, the turtle moves a little more. So theoretically, the space can't be passed. And so it just keeps elongating within itself.
I thought that the runner was running every time he ran, it was half the distance.
Some.
And so he'll never get to the end line.
He'll never
because pass. He's always going half. And
so, oh yeah, that's so the if he's that's 6 feet
away. Yeah. If he's 6 feet away, the next step is 3 feet, and the next step is 1.5, and the next step is. But he'll never ever get to the end because it's always he's always going to be infinitesimally far away, and the turtle will eventually get to the finish line, so the turtle wins.
Yeah. So that's that's the arrow one, and then there's the race one, and he has I think several other paradoxes. But it's fascinating how this. It's just a fun animation idea, but you're already it's rooted in Western philosophy and thought.
Totally.
Very fascinating.
Fascinating. So what kind of character is Pippin?
Sorry. Yeah, who is Pippin? So Pippin is like 13.
Okay.
She's hit that puberty age where she's 13. Like, I got this, guys. Uh-huh. And so basically what I wanted, the general gist of the whole story was that through these magical rooms, she must learn how to become a responsible person of society. And so it's just a coming of age story, but basically
a building's Roman.
Jinx, yes.
Yeah, so like she gets into these rooms that are like super like just visually intense. Like the first room that she opens is like a concert hall. But like there's like a bunch of chandeliers in the ceiling because it's like again, a big house smushed into small house, so it's like a you know like a chandelier store. It's like kind of it looks like that, and then there's like
just packed.
Like what is it? Like the music stands everywhere, and like a piano, and then like a bunch of like random chairs are like mushed together. But like yeah, there are these cool sequences, but like cool sequences, cool moments, cool visuals, but then the actual story.
We need characters. And we need agency. We need something to happen to Pippin. Right?
We need a conflict.
Yeah, right. Conflict. Agency is a stream of consciousness.
The original conflict was she has a dog. So like she's immature, but then she is in love with her dog, and she cares about her dog. Like the only thing she does care about is her dog.
Can the dog get lost?
Yes.
So basically the original story was that she is going through her adventure, and then through her adventure, she loses her dog at one point because she's so obsessed with like discovering these new things about the house. And then at one point, she's like, where's my dog? And then she's like, oh my gosh, I can't find my dog. Goes through like a whatever breakdown moment. And then she realizes that through like cleaning or like fixing things in these rooms that are like, I guess, hurt or damaged, that she can get one step closer to finding her dog. But then like, the criticism with that is that, is that really like...
A conflict?
Yeah. Is that really like something that's really... Like, okay, yeah, I know, like, people love their dogs, but it's like...
Idea of loss is really good.
What if?
I have this. I have this idea that's pretty left field. If we're hitting a line drive...
No, brace yourselves.
Anything can happen to animation, right?
That's true. Okay. I mean,
when I first heard the idea of the doors,
yes.
I was imagining it like... It's like 13 going on 30, but with each room... So she opens the door, and then when she steps through it, she's a little older or something.
Ooh.
And then each room can be, say, a room in her house at that point in time, or a room that she's in, maybe like a job where she's at that point. And then she keeps going, but the door shuts behind her each time.
Potential. Kind of like life's potential. Like a Mario game where you can't go back.
Do you keep opening doors? Do you just stay in the room?
Like the main thing is not doors, it's hallways.
Ah,
So like the hallways that I've been designing, like some of them are just cool looking, but then some of them, like when she's actually going through her conflict of like, where's my dog, which was the original idea, like the hallway, it has no walls, but there's clouds, and then there's frames with photos of her family and moments in her life where she was sad, and like the paintings are all like either half done or like characters are disappeared or like just things like that, and she's like walking through it and she's like crying through this hallway, and like she's like, I don't even want to do this game anymore. But then the frames start falling and the hallway starts collapsing. So she has to run to the door and open it.
Oh, wow.
And that's when she enters the last room, which is a half chaotic bed. And like the last room, I kind of got my inspiration from Willy Wonka's office, where it's like half cut off furniture and like weird stuff.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, so like that was one of my references. But then again... Mm-hmm. What is the conflict? Like, I can't think of it. It's like, I know it's coming of age, but what is it that gets her to the coming of age part?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
One option, perhaps, may be the idea that it's not her dog, but she's in addition to house sitting, also dog sitting. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so it's not her dog. Mm-hmm. It's this idea of responsibility to the task and her, you know, responsibility to keep her promises. Mm-hmm. And this is also, dialectically combined with the idea of growing within house. The idea that, Matt, you're talking about, like how each room is time, the combination of space and time. The class, it's like peanut butter and chocolate, you know, space and time.
Yeah,
it's one of those things that they just go hand in hand. And I'm reminded, you were talking about how like a concert hall crammed with chandeliers seems very surreal. And I'm reminded of a quote from Macbeth that seems to go hand in hand with the idea of surrealism. It's from Act 1, Scene 7.
Dang. It's from Brian Tomer.
And Lady Macbeth
says,
art thou afeard to be the same in thine own act and valor as thou art in desire? Do you want your insides to reflect your outsides, your intention
well,
to reflect your action?
Well, that's right? That ambition can be too large for, you know.
That's how I feel about this project.
Yeah. This is your Macbeth,
okay, but like, continue.
No. I think that you, so back to what makes a good story, right? Mm. I think that this idea of loss, I think this idea of time passing, and is very, you can resonate to that, you know? This idea, and the sense of urgency that she needs to find the dog, yes, but also she's going through this journey, right?
Mm.
And it's changing her, this idea. And that's why I like Matt's suggestion that the doors close behind her. Mm-hmm.
Or the hallways.
Where
the hallway stretches farther ahead than
right.
And that there's only one way, and she can only go that one direction.
Mm. Again, so like this is a student film, and like I love these ideas, but I think when I've been looking at student films, the most successful are the ones that have the simplest ideas.
Mm.
Like just and I feel like my story, it can be very simple, just one conflict and just one little, you know, and like that's. Like the one little, like, what is it? The what is this called?
The story arc. Yeah.
The story arc. Right.
Yeah,
just a very simple arc to follow.
Yeah. I think that the whole idea of her changing and of her learning one thing, you know, could be
like,
simple. You know?
Where would it stop? Like, where is the conflict?
Yeah.
You know, that's the problem.
Is the audience following the dog too, or just Pippin following the dog?
Are
we following Pippin following the dog?
We're following Pippin.
We're following Pippin.
Yeah, it's Pippin's story.
And then it's like, The dog was there at first, but then so basically after her chandelier experience, she like gets out of the room and she's back in the original small room that she was in. And she's like, so basically what she did in the chandelier room is she neglected all the beauty of the room, and she just like knocked over a bunch of like lights from like a stand, like a table, like a table. And she was like, oh my gosh, perfect lighting for a selfie. And she takes like a bunch of selfie shots. And then she gets back to the small room, and she sits on a couch, and she's like, oh my gosh, let me check out my photos. But then the couch is like the couch, it actually like melts up to the wall, like it like climbs up the wall. So basically she's like looking at the photos that she's taking, and then it'll cut to a close-up shot of her, and then you just see her hair like moving upwards. And so basically she's flipped upside down, and she's in the ceiling now. And like her dog is like, what you doing up there?
I think a good one of these could be, you know, she's,
and like that introduced the next hallway that she goes to.
What's the tone?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that was a hard time. That was something I had a hard time with too, because I tried doing something very serious, but
like you said, probably the most successful student films are the ones that are not too serious, or what?
Well, no. It could be serious. It's just that. That's not who I am. Like, I can be serious, but the ideas that come easy to me are, like, funny ones.
Mm-hmm.
So...
I don't know. I think your theme should be, like...
I wanted to have
buildings
a lot of energy.
Roman, coming-of-age story, and the main conflict, and the one thing that she learns is, like, self-awareness, right? And...
Yeah. And I think it's also kind of, like, I want the message to be, like, I want you to have a responsibility for where you live.
Okay.
Or, like, your environment, or be aware of,
like... Pay attention to your environment.
Right.
Instead of just you all the time.
Because, like, I think what makes a person so little is, like, they don't want to do their chores. Mm-hmm. They don't realize that, like, breaking these things, like, no one is there to pick it up for you.
Mm-hmm.
But, again.
I think there's something there.
Yeah, because, like, I think the main reason why we fight with our parents is because they always tell us to do something, but most of the things they tell us to do is clean. Mm. So
finding the self-purpose or like self-actualization in like such a mundane task as making your bed.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it's like, well, what do these hobbies? I mean, what do these chores like really teach? Like, what are the underlying lessons of these lessons?
I think maybe you can tie it to these little chores eventually make up a good citizen, right? Because if you're going to have the responsibility to clean your bed, then you'll have the responsibility to recycle or something like that, you know? And little chores in your house can eventually make habits that will make, you know,
I just don't know how to show that in like two, three minutes.
Right. You could also possibly like work with the idea of like the self-image. So like taking a selfie and then like having the image somehow being projected or like combined with the image of the house. Like there could be a room where everything is made of a mirror. Mm-hmm. And so her environment reflects who she is in some way. Or not, you know.
No. I mean, good ideas. I've been getting really good ideas for like rooms, but like I can't.
The conflict.
Yeah, I can't hone it down to like
the basics.
What if the conflict is Pippin?
Pippin.
It could be her. Yeah. Hmm. But can you elaborate?
But she doesn't know she's the conflict until she starts to learn. So it's sort of by going through the house, she understands that there is a conflict because you know she enters the house not knowing there's a conflict. Sort of. When you learn a lesson, you don't expect to... When you mess up, you don't expect to mess up. It happens.
Mm-hmm.
So by going into the house and then having it transform in all these different things, the experience itself becomes the conflict for Pippin because she's not the same person that entered the house, which is part of the building's role. So it ties it together. As in the conflict of why she enters the house is not... It's like when we start a journey. You know, we don't know why... We're doing something. We know why we want to do it, but we don't know where it'll end up. We also enter houses in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the rooms also shift.
I think that's one different thing between like real life and stories. Just with the story, you have to have the structure of you know where to go. But in real life, you can only know the story after it's happened.
Mm.
Right.
Like you can't say something's crazy is happening as it's happened because you don't know where it ends.
Right.
And so
I know the idea of going through a house and opening doors though is very similar to that, right? Because you don't know what's gonna be on the side of the door.
Yeah.
But I like what Matt is saying. Maybe I could go off of that where it's like she goes in and she doesn't understand or like she enjoys the house because it's like magical and she's like super like this is awesome and like this is exactly what I want. But then later on it's like she realizes this house is almost like malicious to her. You're just trapping me in this house. Like I want to go back to the small house. Like I don't want these lavish rooms. I want to go back to like
my home. Simplicity.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Maybe instead of the rooms getting smaller,
terrifying.
They get larger. So it's like a gift that keeps on giving.
No. I like the idea of it becoming smaller, where it's like. In life, like, it's like you dream so big, but what you actually want, what actually makes you happy is, like, something a lot simpler.
Or she starts to realize, as the more time she spends in the house, it starts to look like the small house she started with. Because it's getting back to being small again.
Yeah.
And then what she was looking for, she actually had already, which is corny.
Oh, that's nice.
But it's again, the realization that at the end, she doesn't actually exit the house, but she's actually back in the small house that she started with.
Like, I'm not looking for a profound story. I'm just looking for a story that works.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, original stories. Like it's just that's cute.
That is cute.
Well, sweet. We're at our time. So
I say that she should encounter like characters along the way as well. You know, like that stand for stuff. You know, I don't know, like an allegory.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Furniture.
Yeah, furniture.
Furniture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The inanimate like Beauty and the Beast. Animateness.
Mm.
In the end, aren't we all an allegory?
The teapot in Beauty and the Beast is way too old to have a little kid.
Dude, who's the dad?
Yeah, who's the dad?
Huh? Is that one of the cabinets?
Yeah, who's the dad? I never saw like a
probably some
but
China.
The house is dead quiet most of the time.
When porcelain. China porcelain, guys.
What's his name? His name is Chip, right?
I don't remember.
Chip. Yeah, because there's a Chip.
Maybe he was made in China.
That would make a lot of sense.
No.
So thank you once again for joining us at Postmodern Cowboys. We have an announcement coming up, so be on your toes for that. But in the meantime, feel free to email us at postmoderncowboys@gmail.com. We've received two So thank you.
We're still paying for that Gmail account.
We're still paying for that Gmail account. Yeah. So once again,
I'm paying for that. I don't know where it's going, but Brian demands payment. So
please stop with the Facebook request, please. I know I have many fans. I have many fans. All please. Two.
So once again, I'm Brian.
Matt.
Brian.
And Matt.
And I'll see you next week.
Who's Chip's father is, because that bothers me.
It's the Beast.
I really like that story idea, though. Good job, guys. Thank you so much. I really was hitting, fun. Like, a weird...
I was getting this Coraline vibe from it.
Yes.